We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Governor, you've told us before that you expect to seek re-election next year. And if that happens, we can expect to hear a lot from your Republican opponents about the problems with the state's IT system for human service benefits, UHIP, which has been plagued by a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. If they argue that that is a signal failure of leadership under your direction, how will you respond?
Well, look, as I've said, there's no question that we've made a lot of mistakes. I regret that because, you know, we have to do better. Having said that, what you want in a leader, you're never going to get a leader who doesn't make mistakes. What you want is someone who acknowledges mistakes, makes changes, and fixes the problems. And that's what we're doing. IT systems, I can't find a state that rolled out an IT system of this kind without similar problems. Massachusetts, Kentucky, Maryland. So what we've done is I got a whole new team. I got a huge credit back from Deloitte. We're not paying them. And we've made substantial progress from a year ago. I think it's important to own your mistakes, to fix them, and to deliver. And that's what we're doing.
Before we go to Scott, we haven't seen any public commitment of money by Worcester or Montreal, seen as the two other potential rivals for the Paw Sox. Does that show that the state of Rhode Island under your leadership could have negotiated a better deal with the team?
I don't think we could have. This is the best deal that we know of. You know, I don't think you could find a better deal for the taxpayers in the last decade or more in AAA ball like this. No, I don't think that's what it means. There's also, I think the Paw Sox belong in Pawtucket, and we have a greater interest in keeping them in Pawtucket than, you know, maybe another city.
Let's go to Scott.
You know, there's a misperception out there, even in some parts of the media, about your proposal on DACA, the Dreamers. There's no state money involved in what you're trying to do. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah, we raised the money philanthropically. I went a couple weeks ago to the march. There was a march from Burnside Park, and I listened to an immigration lawyer, and she got up there and said, everybody here who needs to renew before March only has until October 13th. And by the way, it's $495. And I said to myself, we got to do something. We can't let $500 stand in the way of someone pursuing the American dream. So we went, we raised the money, we work with the Rhode Island Foundation. And you're right, there's no state money.
How about partnering with Boston on the Amazon issue?
You know, I saw you wrote about that, and it's not out of the question. Right now, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to put our best foot forward. That's what we did with GE, and we knocked the socks off of GE. Boston got the headquarters, but we have a thriving digital division about a mile down the road from here, or not even. So that may happen, and I'm open to it.
We're talking here with Governor Gina Raimondo. And Governor, to come back to the DACA program, the Dreamers are very sympathetic individuals, but President Trump's rise was fueled by many people who felt that their views on immigration were being ignored. Any concerns that the focus on the Dreamers just rubs some people the wrong way who feel that the immigration process has been flouted for too long?
Yeah, so I think what you just said is real, and it comes from people feeling like, hey, they need a job too. You know, one of my favorite programs we have is a welding program at Coventry High School. And I had a chance recently to sit with a bunch of young men from Coventry who went through the welding program, graduated high school. Every single one of them got a good manufacturing job at Electric Boat. So I'm working day and night for them to have jobs, but we can't shut the door to, you know, the young people in Central Falls who've been there since they were one, who are working incredibly hard and who are Rhode Islanders for all practical purposes. We got to find a place and a job for all of them and not close our doors.
Speaking of jobs, the state is set to have a groundbreaking Monday for the Wexford development in the I-195 district. You've called this a game changer, but some people are a little more skeptical and see this as being mostly a real estate deal. Why are they wrong?
Because it's not. You know, it will create over 1,000 jobs over the next couple of years building it. So, you know, it's a huge facility and a lot of people will work. But once it's constructed, I think there'll be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people working there, including in the incubator, Cambridge Innovation Center, which is a beehive of startup companies. So the fact of the matter is, it is a game changer. This is Boston coming down. You know, this is an MIT-related company setting up shop in Rhode Island and creating hundreds of jobs here.
I'm just wondering, can Rhode Island realistically get into a kind of spending race on the incentive side of looking at Amazon? It seems like we're a small state. We're not going to be able to get into a race as to who can throw the most money out there.
Yeah, I think you're right. You're absolutely right. And we're not going to win if that's what it comes down to. We'll have to put a decent incentive package out there so we can compete. But, you know, look, it's 30% less expensive to live in Providence than Boston. We have Brown and URI and RISD. RISD's a top-notch design school. It's a higher quality of life to live here. I don't know if you can fit 50,000 more people in Boston. And they certainly can't afford to live there.
Could we really accommodate 50,000 more workers? We don't have enough high-tech workers now. Could we realistically do that for...
Over time, I think we can. Or, as you say, combine with Boston. That's why I think the idea of a combination is probably not a bad one.
The state is facing a $237 million deficit for the next fiscal year. What does the state have to do differently to get out of the situation where every time the legislature returns, there's a huge new deficit?
So some of that is because we're choosing to give up revenue by cutting taxes, you know, cutting the car tax, cutting business taxes. So that means we have to tighten our belt on the expenses even more. Also, it's a problem what's happening in Washington. I just sat down with our revenue people. This economy is stronger than it's ever been. It's, you know,
is that due to Trump's presidency?
No, it's true to my governorship. No, that's, you know,
no, but I mean, Wall Street is at an all-time record.
You walked into that, as my son would say.
The Fed has stopped the quantitative easing. They obviously have...
No, look. In 2014, when most of the rest of America was out of the recession, Rhode Island had the highest unemployment rate in America. We have made huge strides in our economy right here in Rhode Island in the past 2.5 years. And as a result, our personal income tax collections is up. Where we're lagging is corporate tax. And that is because of Trump's presidency, because very wealthy people and corporations are not paying their taxes because they're waiting for Trump to, you know, cut them at the federal level. And so they're holding back. Massachusetts, hottest economy you can find, has a huge deficit because the revenues are falling off a cliff because of the uncertainty in Washington because of President Trump. So what's the answer, Ian? I think it's continue to grow the economy like we're doing, and we're going to have to make some really difficult choices to find the cuts that we need to find without hurting people and also taking care of our most vulnerable.
The General Assembly this year passed a scaled-back version of your Rhode Island's Promise program to extend college access to young people. Will you run legislative challengers next year or support legislative challengers next year in an effort to create more support for expanding that program?
Probably not. I think that the program so far in its infancy is a huge success. We have a 45% increase in the number of students going to CCRI. I've had the chance to meet these young people. They're amazing. Everyone I've talked to has said they wouldn't be going to college but for it. By the way, they're all going to school full-time and working full-time, the kids I've spoken to. So it's great. My plan would be show that it works, build support, and then expand the program.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And the governor of Rhode Island, Gina Raimondo.
Thank you.